Watch it. Boys bracing. There we go. And go hard. And go hard. Very good.
The Paddler's Pod with Sam and Macca.
You recording?
Yeah, of course.
Good, because we do not have any time to waste here at the 2022 ICF Ocean Racing World Championships, because the race has been green lit. We are on tomorrow. And I say that green with the assumption that I'm actually going to edit this tonight and make sure that I get it out in time. I thought we're going to have a few more days to actually do this before the race, but it's happening. And we are about to talk through all of the action before it gets underway. My name is Sam Jordan. Mackenzie Heinart is sitting on the other side of the bedroom from me.
It's like this third podcast we've recorded together.
And actually on the floor stretching at the moment is also Corey Hill. Corey, you want to give us a hello?
Hello.
Not quite a guest host on this episode, but he may as well be, because he's going to be here to bear witness to it all. Exactly right. This is basically a live recording. Macca, it's here. The world titles after a few years of delay, and no disrespect to Nick Naughton. Not the disrespect you showed him last episode of the podcast, but we are finally all back together. And how good does it feel?
Nicky did sort of shrug me off when I saw him, so maybe it's because he listened. Maybe not. But it's great to be back here. It's so weird to see everyone. It's like, actually, I caught up with good old friend Mark Anderson a couple of weeks ago, and he actually made mention it was like the Avengers movie when the blip happened. I don't know if you've seen the Avengers movie, and it was like, you know, 2.5 years of our life seemed to just go on hold. Everyone did different things, and now we're back, and it's like people haven't done all that much, but it's so cool to see everyone and what they've been up to. And I haven't yet been able to catch up with everyone, but being the race is on tomorrow and we didn't think it was going to be this early in the piece, it will be good to see everyone afterwards. But main reason we're here is to race, so we can talk all about that.
So a bit of confusion around the waiting period for the race. Originally it was understood that it would be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The wind does look like it will be best tomorrow, which is the Thursday. No one's complaining about it getting the go-ahead in that hope. Right now, it is Wednesday afternoon that we're sitting here recording. The wind has been pretty good this afternoon. We did a couple of solid kilometre efforts and it was around 4 minute pace to get an idea. So it's not like we're going to be seeing, you know, lightning fast splits. But hopefully, if we get anything like we've had today, I'll be reasonably happy. There is some concern that we won't. What are you saying, Corey? 5 knot winds are being forecast, so maybe not the conditions that we're hoping for. However, full credit to the organisers for actually just making that tough decision to get underway. A 20 kilometre course, maybe a little bit less, in what is a pretty straight line from north to south down the Portuguese coast. There isn't a whole lot to factor in. There is a little bit of tidal movement, a little bit of currents that does run along the beach there, but what do you reckon, Matt? We won't go too far into it.
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be pretty tough. I reckon your world title campaign is going to be better regardless of how you go, as long as you both hold
didn't
together.
Didn't finish last time on the great backpacking journey. In fact, the last time we were here, we've been reminiscing a bit, was 3 years ago when we had a big night.
We did.
Last time we were here. This hotel, there's a buffet for breakfast, lunch and dinner that you can eat. There's also a bar downstairs. I felt like I was like famished when I was here. I just ate so many pastel donata Portuguese tarts.
Coming off the backpacking world tour. It is funny, we'll make mention, 2013 we started this campaign together, and I think we joked about the fact that we would travel around the world and do this till we died, and here we are, and we made a podcast, and you know, we're living true to that. A
couple of people have actually come up and said they listen to the podcast. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks everyone. So we won't wait any longer. One thing we will actually acknowledge before we get into the race is that we are actually missing a couple of the big names on the men's side of the draw, at least anyway. Tom Naughton is not here. I can't remember whether we've said it or not. Like, he's about to become a dad. They put that out there. They're not social people.
No, they're not. But yeah, within the day,
he's about to become a dad. So Tom Naughton is not here. He's the defending champion at the Nello Summer Challenge from 2019. If he had entered, he would be race number one.
Yes.
Mackie, you're 5, I'm 11. Corey, what are you?
3-3-2.
3-3-2, sounds about right. Yep. So yeah, no Tom Norton, and also no Sean Rice, which is a big blow to the field. It's a sadness for everyone here not to be able to catch up with him. He did have visa issues getting here. He does have a lot on his plate being a dad now as well, but he did have every intention to come, as we spoke about, as he spoke about on the podcast after the Gorge as well. So one of only two men to win two world titles.
Two out of five.
That's right, Macca. I'm glad you correct yourself. So yeah, Sean not here. Macca, what we're going to do, thanks to our sponsor of this episode of the podcast, which is Wash Rider. So good to have Kieran on board once again. What we are going to do is I'm just going to hear your top three of the women's field, and I'll give mine. Then we'll chat about that, and then we're going to do the same for the men. How does that sound?
Yeah, let's do it.
Good. We're making it up as we go along. Macca, cool. Who have you got as your 3-2-1?
For men or women?
Women. Okay, while you're thinking, I'm going to explain to the listener as well. If there are issues with the editing of this episode, if there is issues with the audio quality, I apologize, because I'm going to literally lay it down on the timeline and post
it. And just post it.
Post it tonight. So I do apologize. Macca, what have you got? We spoke about you making sure.
But
you
sorry, know what I, you were I'm, yeah, okay, yeah, it's cool. You said top five, so yeah. Then you've just thrown a spanner in the work, and now you've asked me to lay it's it three, out. It's like 3-2-1 though.
Third, second, first. It's third, second, like first.
A box on it. I'm going to go Anna Swedish in third, Michelle Burns second, Dane McKenzie first.
Okay. Have you forgotten Gemma Smith?
Yep. 100%. And I'm so sorry, Gemma. Okay. I'm taking. Sorry, Anna, you're out. Gemma, you're in third. Gemma's in third, Michelle Burns.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. That's exactly. Well, thank you for pulling me up on that, because yeah, I definitely forgot about Gemma.
I've gone Hannah Minogue in third.
Okay.
Gemma Smith in second. Danielle McKenzie.
Full Aussie in contingent. First.
Well, Danielle is from New Zealand.
That's a good point, but I do forget. I am having a melt here. At least there'll be some genuine comedy in this episode.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Even if it's to the detriment of my knowledge.
Look, this is a really exciting race to the women's field, because although we had a bit of a taste at it on the men's side of the things at the Gorge, we haven't seen the women race an international race since 2019. My rationale, Macca, you've gone the same. I think Danielle McKenzie's just going to be too strong.
Yeah.
I think that she's potentially in career best form at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
She's had some really close battles with Gemma Smith over the years. If there's anyone who I think can get the best of Danielle, it is going to be Gemma, particularly in the conditions as well. Gemma's represented Australia in sprint kayaking over the winter, so she's got a lot of K's in her. I just don't know whether anyone can touch Danny. It's a bit of a caveat on this, is that Danielle McKenzie actually doesn't have a bag with her.
No, it has been picked up.
Oh, it has?
By Corey Taylor, her other countryman.
That's massive, because she didn't look happy after using a brand new paddle today. So I think that's going to be a massive boost to her. She's also got a bit of racing underneath the belt as well, doing the Malaysian race, and
straight
essentially, she dropped you at any point in that? I guess she dropped us. She had to have dropped you on that day, really.
I did. Yeah, well, or she, you didn't she get did, there. So I didn't get there, but you then yeah, there. She did drop Darf.
Yeah,
and she won that race. So.
If you're dropping, you know, one of the best male paddlers in the world, in flat water conditions, you're doing pretty well. It is a bit of an X factor in terms of, though, I think Gemma Smith will come second. We both agreed on that.
I didn't. I said Michelle. But
oh, did you have Michelle second?
Yeah, I had Gemma in third.
It's a train wreck. It's a train wreck podcast.
Not really.
Yeah.
Poor Michelle. Like, she won last year. Well, and relegated her.
This is the question that I was going to ask to you, Macca, is that we haven't seen the South African women race up close for a while. The last time they did race was at their selection trials, where Michelle was third, Melanie Van Niekerk won it, and Kira Bester was second. They're all here. Jenna Ward's here as well.
That's a good point.
The Hockley girls are here. So all of these South African powerhouses are really going to be pushing hard. It's going to be really interesting to see where they end up.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I was a long way off. And quick shout out to Michelle E-Ray, first winner of the World Champs in 2013. She may mention there's been five different women winners over the course of the championships, and only two of them are here to contend it. Michelle Byrne and Danny McKenzie.
Yeah.
So that's who I had in my 1-2, just as a bit of, you know, they've had the experience there under their belt.
I just coughed into the microphone, and you know what? I'm not even going to worry about trying to edit it out. This is the kind of day that it is. Yeah, so really interesting stuff as well. Judith Virgen-Cifra from Spain as well has been in good form as well. So
that's good. That's a good point.
It's going to be a close race. I just don't think it's going to be as close as the men's though. Wowee. What a race that we are looking at. I think for the very first time, it's probably the most open race I think I can remember in maybe our time in ocean scare racing.
Yeah.
Super close.
There hasn't been so many international races, right? They had the European champs, but you know, that was the Euros only.
Yeah.
Anyone that went had to race on a different start line, different finish line, that sort of stuff. And we've only had the Gorge Downwind Championships, which a great event in itself, but you know, restricted to the river that we participated in.
And very specific too, right?
Yeah, correct. A lot of just like straight down the line. There isn't, well, there is, you
well,
know,
I think there's a lot of decision making that comes into that race, though.
Correct.
So my point is, I don't know if it's necessarily the same indication as an open ocean.
No, that's downwind what, yeah, race. That's what I was trying to.
That is essentially in a straight line, as we mentioned. So, Mackenzie Hynard, I hope it doesn't take as long this time. Who is your Wash rider top three predictions for the men's?
Nicky Naughton.
Third.
Third, Nicky Naughton. Second, Hank McGregor. First, Corey Hill.
Wow, and Corey's in the
sitting
room.
On
Corey,
the room,
what
yeah.
are you
I'm just trying to pump him up.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that. Thanks, Mac.
It's all right.
I'll take it.
My top three. Third, Kenny Rice.
Okay.
Second, Nicky Naughton.
Uh-huh.
First, Corey Hill.
Okay.
Corey's just given an off fuck on the ground.
Now he's in trouble.
I think the nerves have just kicked in that moment. Two guys backing you for the win. Chili, how does that feel?
It feels like you guys might be saying it because I'm in the room.
You know what? I actually did plan my top three in advance. I thought about it while we were paddling. But again, there's no disrespect to all the people that... Oh, Corey, we're recording a podcast. That's no disrespect to all the people that we have left off. But yeah, this is going to be really, really interesting stuff. I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if we get it all
wrong. I'm 100%. What, no Hank McGregor for you?
No Hank McGregor for me. Okay. Look, it's hard to know where to start breaking this all down. Let's go from the top. We've both put Corey first. I think we've done that for a reason, and that's because he's proven on this stage. Wow, it's so fun. He's here in the room.
Yeah, I know.
This is so good.
Close your ears.
He's one of only two men to have won this event
twice.
For me, watching from a distance, there's been enough signs in his build-up that I know that he's on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. I've done the paddling with him. He's getting all nervous.
I'm making eye contact with him.
That's weird.
Look, I think too, like, I have full confidence. Corey's won here before on this course as well.
Yep.
And I just think that experience is going to certainly help when it comes down to the last K or two of this race, because I think it's going to be really tight. I don't see anyone winning by a minute.
Nah, I could. I actually could see it coming to a sprint up the beach, or close to.
Wow.
Maybe not a sprint up the beach, but within waves of one another, similar to what the European Championships was that we saw online.
Yeah, Macca, let's talk about Hank McGregor. So you had him coming second in your predictions. What is it about Hank that has you feeling so confident?
His will to want to win this race. I know that this is one that's eluded him for some time, ever since the inception of it. And it's quite funny, you know, he has almost every accolade under the sun within an ocean racing, you know, calendar, but has never really featured up there in a world championship. So he's always finished around 6th, 7th, 8th mark, which I find fascinating for someone of his caliber. And I know that this is one that he really wants to get after. He looks in good shape. He's just come off doing the marathon championship. So he's definitely, you know, he's done the work like he always has. It's not like he's never done the work, but...
And had good form as well. 4th in the sprint race in that. So showing plenty of turn of speed. 7th in the K2 with Jasper Mocker as well. Yeah, it is an interesting one. Like, as I said, I'm not going to be shocked in any way if Hank is on the podium. I've just backed in the new generation.
Yep.
I'm going to stop short of saying it's a changing of the guard or anything like that. But I look at Kenny now, who of course did come second in 2019 at the World Titles. Nicky Notton, who is the defending champion, whether you like it or not, Macca. I think that they now have the experience under their belt to be able to perform on this stage when it counts.
Yeah. I mean...
Do we have COVID in this? Look, Corey and I have both been coughing for quite a while, but that seems to be over. What were you going to say? Sorry, mate.
No, I agree. I wouldn't say like we're all youthful or they're youthful. Like everyone that you've named is, you know, 30 or nearly 30. So it's not like we've named a young...
Wait, how old am I? How old are you?
28.
Oof.
I know. Oof. Well, 28 in a week, so there you go.
Yeah.
But it's
a good point.
Yeah, we haven't named someone that hasn't been around or anything. It's simply like, you know, these guys have done the racing, they've had the experience, and they're reaping the rewards for it now.
Okay, let's talk about all the guys that can prove us wrong tomorrow. For me, the one that is top of mind is Jackson Collins.
Yes.
Who we haven't seen a lot of on the ocean ski sand. He's done one race in the last 6 months. Before that, he did have a stack of wins under his belt. I think that he is going to be up there. He could very, very well win this race tomorrow.
Easily.
But I just think the consistency of racing that the other guys have done in their surf ski, I think might come into play tomorrow. But again, given the conditions that we seem to have here is that it's non-stop paddling and pushing over runs, given the fitness that Jacko would have after his World Cup season, World Championship season in the kayak, I think he's going to be really, really hard to stop. You mentioned Hank McGregor in depth, Macca, some of the other South Africans that could well cause an upset too. Gosh, where do you start? Josh Fenn,
most definitely. Mark Keeling, for instance, he's just come off a massive win. Like,
yeah.
You know, running off confidence is a huge boost, especially for someone who has, in theory, nothing to lose.
Jasper Mokkar, I know he had his back up after the Gorge. He didn't like coming fifth at the Gorge. He wanted to do better.
In his wheelhouse.
After racing at a kayak world championships as well, he's certainly going to have some Ks into him. I think the thing that's interesting with Josh Fenn is that he's one guy that we actually haven't seen race a lot in the last few years. But speaking to Andy Burkett on the phone just a few weeks ago, he trains with Josh and he said that Josh has trained the best that he's ever seen him train and he's paddling the best he's ever seen him paddle. Andy then went on to win the K1 title at the Marathon World Championships.
Yeah,
so if Josh has been there doing the work with him, that's a pretty good sign.
Pretty good proving ground, pretty good sign of fitness there, and we just spoke of it may not be the biggest and best conditions, so there will be plenty of jumping over runs. I think European wise too, you know, we've got a look at Gordon Harbreck, Valentin Hennot.
How strong is Gordon looking, by the way?
Yeah,
his muscles were pulsing.
Yeah,
pulsing.
He's an incredible human, really. Big frame, big figure.
I'm interested to see how Valentin Hennot backs up after the European titles. He's said pretty openly in an article that probably should be on the website by now.
You take the blame for that.
That he has struggled after the European Championships because there was such an emotional release to get that victory that he has struggled to pick himself back up.
Yeah.
The work that he's done and the conditions that these are here, where you're constantly pushing over the top, him and Gordon are going to be right in the mix.
I'll quickly say Corey and I did do some sessions with him, and yeah, he paddled pretty. Corey will advocate for that. He paddled pretty well in similar conditions, beat both of us. So
yeah, Mac, will very, very briefly just throw some names around in the under 23s and 18s as well. I don't know how much you've seen of the 23s field, but we're talking about Josh said last night at dinner he's 22. Is that right?
Yeah,
Josh is still 22.
Yeah, so we're talking about him that could upset the open field.
Corey's laughing on the floor at the moment. It's going to take something pretty special to stop Josh, but God, his younger brother could do it, right? How old's Matt now?
Yeah, if he was here. But
oh, Matt's not here? Am I going to edit this bit out?
No, you're not.
Maybe I'll leave it in. Uli Hart.
I think Mark Keeling still may be under 23.
No. Is that right?
Could be.
We are so poorly researched.
I know. I'm meant to be the research guru too, and I've got nothing.
One guy I actually want to pull out of the under 18 field is Bernardo Pereira, who
I think he also might be 19.
Is he? Oh, I thought he was. He's 18 years old.
Okay.
I believe. I don't know where that puts him. But regardless of what age group's in, he came third overall at the European Championships.
Yeah.
Ahead of Esteban Medina, ahead of Walter Bazan. I actually was pretty close to hitting publish on the article, thinking he came fourth and not third. So I'm glad that's been pointed out. That's unbelievably impressive. We've heard of him for a very long time. Oscar Chalupski's had a lot to do with him.
Yes.
And says, you know, oh, Oscar loves talking. Oh, look, Oscar doesn't pull his punches. So if he's saying that he's going to be the next star of the sport, I tend to believe him.
Yes, I agree. I think he talks about him in downwind. He's a guy that's just grown up doing open ocean paddling. Hasn't come from anything else. Hasn't even come from a surf life saving background to get into the sport like most of us have.
21 seconds behind Val at the European titles. Impressive. Over an hour 10. That's incredible.
Really, really impressive.
I'm going to cut this out. Is there anyone we've forgotten? Like, we don't mention the chicks. Should probably mention... Who's in the 23 chicks now?
Is Jenna Smith still in
23? No, I was thinking about it too. Oh, no, she is. She raised 23. All right, we are only pulling names out of the blue, but look, Gemma Smith is still under 23s as well.
Yeah.
She did just, I think, she just competed at the under 23 sprint world title. So she has to be.
She would still be.
I just don't know whether anyone beats her. I think if Anna Swedish was to challenge her here, I think there would need to potentially be a little bit more wind.
Yeah.
I
tend to agree.
But I think Gemma's going to be hard to stop. The 18s is an interesting one. I haven't seen a whole lot
of the under 18 female field,
but I think Saskia Hockley, just going off results that we've seen in South Africa,
yeah,
I'd be pretty surprised if Saskia Hockley doesn't walk away with the gold medal tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting, I think, in the movement of the sport to see how the Europeans fare in something like the under 18s.
Yeah,
given
for sure.
That, like, it's just been so dominated by South Africa and Australia over the last 5 World Championships. Nikki, you like that one? And yeah, it'd be good to see how they fare, you know, in what they've been trying to achieve, because I know that they have paddling clubs set up for specific ocean paddling. So to see how that progress or how that movement's progressing, and I'd like to think that it's going well. So yeah, I guess stay tuned for that.
All right, a very quick one before we do wrap things up is that we are going to acknowledge our sponsor of this episode of the podcast, which is Wash Rider.
Yes.
WashRider.com for all of your accessories in paddling. I actually made mention today to Corey when we were out paddling about the fact that I wish I had brought a couple of WashRider deflectors here, because there is a bit of weight around, and that is, you literally peel back a strip of epoxy. It's
pretty good.
Oh, we've got a lot of coffee going on.
I'm cough free over here.
I'm glad you're on the other side of the room, Marcus. Sorry, mate. But yeah, stick it straight on and away you go.
Yeah.
It is the perfect gear, and we're talking about that quality of design and engineering in all of their products.
The whole range, from roof racks to stick-on.
Racks. How good are the racks?
Yeah, I know.
You know you're in Europe when you start seeing that design of rack again, like the Wash Rider Y-Rack, perfected by Wash Rider.
Yes,
There are many knockoffs around.
Not many originals, but hopefully that they get a little influx over here.
Head to washrider.com, use the code ThePaddlersPod. That's one word. I don't know what's going to happen. You might get 10% off. It might
maybe
be
20.
You might get 20. You might get 10. You might get nothing. It might be the wrong code. I don't know, but we haven't got time to stop and look it up. So good luck in using that code at washrider.com. Now, Mac, we're going to wrap things up. I do want to make a quick mention of the fact that we're back racing at a World Championships again. Do you feel anything different racing here, where you are essentially representing your country, versus other races on the calendar? You gonna say no?
No, I'm not gonna say.
It's nice, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it's a little bit different coming from the fact that we haven't had. Geez, there really is some coughing.
Oh, I know. Push on.
But there, you know, like, we haven't had a selection event to get in to represent the country. So that in itself maybe takes away a little bit of prestige. And I guess I'm just talking freely here. And, you know, that's, you know, the ICF, we're a little bit of a different sport into what that they're constitutionally made up of in selection events. So, you know, we're, I guess you would say, a fringe sport, but probably the largest participation one and growing. So, yeah, look, to answer your question, yes, it feels different, but maybe not as different as what a qualification was, but
it's nice to see. We did just have the official race briefing a little bit earlier this afternoon, and then most countries had their own national team chat. Yeah. You know, it's the kind of thing that we don't get at any other races. It is a nice feeling. The Australian team looking really good in their new team uniform. Three people were not wearing it. And that was Macca, you, Corey, you, and myself. And that's because, well, we didn't want to pay for it, to be honest. And that's no disrespect to everyone who did. But, yeah, they look good. So, like, you know, even just wearing the uniform again, we are all wearing uniforms.
Yes.
We're just wearing it from 2013 when we ordered it the first time. So, almost brand new kit. Now, Macca, we actually said on the last episode of the podcast, we'll chat to you guys in a few days.
Yeah, we blew that. Like,
let's quickly retrace some steps in the last 2 weeks. Normally, you're the one that's hard to get on top of.
You have been...
I got on that plane and went to the AFL Grand Final in Melbourne. You've
been missing MIA ever since.
Incredible experience. 100,000 people at the G to watch my Sydney Swans
a large arena or ground for anyone listening abroad.
I think when I said there's 100,000 there, I think people could go, oh, yeah, that's actually pretty big. I think, what do you mean?
Could be a large area.
And then I got sick after it. I got sick after that. I didn't paddle for a week. We didn't test what kind of sickness it was, but I'm still coughing a little bit. And then went straight into an NRL grand final as well. So I wear all the blame for us not getting to have had a chat about all of that. We will get to Malaysia. I don't know whether you necessarily want to get there, Macca, but we're going
to
do that.
we definitely want to speak about it. It was an amazing event. I think it's worth bringing to light, but yes.
We will also speak about the European Championships. Cyril has also got in touch. Cyril Derrimo, he made it. The madman made it, and we're going to be having a chat to him soon too. So plenty going on. We will get on top of. We are going to do a preview. A post.
I was going to say, podcast. I hope this is the preview.
Wow, people are actually going to hear what it's like for us to record one of these podcasts
and just go
just drop it in.
absolutely not.
We are going to have a post race wash up. Try and do it in a similar vein to what we did with the Gorge. We got some good feedback on that, so keep posted. Yes. Everyone, keep your eyes out because the next time you hear from us, the World Championships will have been run. And won, hopefully, by one of us in this room.
That would be, yeah, that would be very nice.
All right, so until then, everyone,
take care and enjoy.
Corey, you want to say goodbye quickly?
That's right, it does.
The Paddler's Pod with Sam and Macca.